marketing is one of the most important mechanisms of business. If people don't know about you, then you've already lost.
Welcome to the Durango Joe's podcast, where we believe everyone deserves a smile, a warm greeting, and a great cup of coffee. My name's Trevor Ogborn, and as always, I'm joined by Joe Lloyd. Joe, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, the guest we have on our podcast today is a good man, and he's from the Northwest. And as we look out the window here, we've got Northwest weather.
Yeah, we've been channeling it all morning.
Oh my gosh, it's like misty rain, clouds. You feel like you're just, you know, embedded in the Northwest right now, in Durango, and that doesn't happen very often.
I love it. Well, last week we got a little taste of Durango weather, and it was incredible. You know, we had like a preview of what summers in the Pacific Northwest look like. And yeah, here we are, another misty, dreary morning ourselves here. So you're in good company.
Well, awesome. Since we're all on the same page in that case, Brian, why don't you give us a little introduction to you? You've been on our podcast before on our other podcast At the End of the Day, and just sharing that little bite-sized wisdom. Today, you're going to be joining us for one of our long-form episodes, sharing a lot more of your knowledge, and we're going to get some background about Anthem's marketing and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about Anthem Coffee and who you are in the coffee sector.
Yes, man. Well, gosh, Anthem Coffee was birthed 14, almost 15 years ago now, in a little town called Puyallup, Washington. And it's a hometown where we moved when I was about, 8 years old from San Diego, moved up here, fell in love with the Northwest, then fell in love with community and connecting with people, and specifically over coffee. So my family and I took a risk, you know, years back, to open a coffee shop and begin our little adventure. We named it Anthem Coffee because, kind of just true to who we are, you know, we're a little bit more loud than your typical coffee house, with the leather bound books and the leather couches in the corner and the fireplace kind of vibe. We really wanted to create a space that would inspire people to discover what their anthem is, and to live passionately and live purposefully, and live loud. That's our tagline: live loud, love louder. And we've been able to do that in our space. So, you know, not your typical coffee house. We're serving craft beer and wine as well, in addition to some fun signature beverages that people love to come back for. And really, our mission statement sums up kind of what we do every day. And it's just that we create unique experiences that change lives and make people want to come back. And we do it through loving and serving people, through preparing top handcrafted food and beverages, and by creating an environment where real relationships are fostered. And so at the core of everything we do, it's all about relationship. And we're thankful that we have been able to be a place where businesses have been formed and bands have started and people have fallen in love, and you know, all around relationship. I mean, it's just, we're thankful to get to be a part of people's lives in that way.
You know, I've had the privilege of being in your shops, and I think what you described just now really separates you from the competition. And I think your vision, your heart for people, and your love for coffee, obviously, you know, just shines through when you walk into one of your stores. And it is loud. It is a little bit obnoxious in some ways, you know. And it's like, man, these guys are just hooting and hollering and having fun. And so, but really, Brian, that's what separates you from the rest. And I think that's super awesome that, you know, from the very beginning, kind of identified who you were and how you wanted to present yourself to the community. And I'll tell you what, from the things I hear, people do love you, and they love your product. They love just the whole thing. And so based on that, I mean, you've been able to grow the company. So how many stores actually do you have now? And you started with one, obviously, in Puyallup. And give us a little bit of that background.
Yeah, forgive me. We did the one store about 14, 15 years ago. And then 5 years later, we added a second store in Tacoma. And what's interesting is a lot of our growth over the last 4 years has taken place in Tacoma, which is a beautiful little city about 45 minutes south of Seattle. We now have 8 locations, and the scaling process going from 1 to 2 over 5 years, then only having those for a total of 10 years, and then adding you know, another six doors over 3.5 years, basically, is what it was. We got our teeth kicked in and learned a lot of great lessons that you can't learn otherwise. Thankfully, we had a lot of great leaders to put in place and to deploy at the locations that we opened. But there was a run, seriously, of every 4 to 5 months, it seemed like we were opening a new store. And, you know, and then COVID hit, which really kind of, it just, all of our resources gone out to grow. And then that happened. And then it was a whole new ball game of learning how to use marketing to stay in sight and in mind and keep customers coming back. But Joe, what you said about mission, I would agree with you 100%. I just, it'd be tempted to look around at competition and try to copy and do what other people are doing to be successful. But I really think there's something to be said for being true to who you are. First of all, it just comes naturally. And this is for any business out there that's listening. Like, who you are comes to work with you. You are your brand. So celebrate the uniquenesses of what you have to offer and take a risk on yourself. Like, bring what you enjoy to the table so that every morning when your open signs come on, this is the gift that you get to give to the community. And, you know, it's up to them whether or not and accept it and receive it or not. But I think it gives you so much peace and honestly, momentum when you stay in your lane, be true to who you are, and deliver something that excites you day in and day out. And I got to tell you, I'm a product of the product. I love our coffee. I love the people. I love the energy. And even though it's a little loud, a little louder than normal, we still get young, old between coming back and enjoying the space as it was intended. So I'm thankful for that.
Well, I know one of the places that people can certainly get a flavor of everything you talked about is your social media. And like you said, marketing has been this big effort for you before COVID, during COVID, and obviously as we're trying to step forward out of COVID and build that momentum from there. So we're really excited to talk to you about that piece of it, because your social media, you've got something like almost 10,000 followers. You guys are doing some really powerful things there, and it's beautiful. It's cohesive. There's fun video content. There's beautiful pictures and all of that stuff. So tell us a little bit about Anthem's approach to marketing and what have been your priorities since that really took off?
I love this question. You know, I have to go back a little ways, probably 4 to 5 years ago. And even beyond that, I mean, from the get-go, you're looking at, or you're listening to the marketing director and, you know, all the different hats we wear as business owners. Here's what happens. I mean, between quarterly taxes and inventory and people issues, like, something's got to go, and marketing's usually the first thing to go out the window. So when you're doing all those things yourself as a business owner, it's just impossible to do them all well. Marketing is one of the most important mechanisms of business. If people don't know about you, then you've already lost. So I realized, like, wow, we've let marketing slip. I've let marketing slip. Let me rephrase that. We as a team began to kind of look at, man, you know, there's all these platforms. You have Instagram now. You have Facebook. You had Twitter at the time, and it was popping. You even had Vine and platforms that have come and gone since. And that's, I think, the first place that business owners can get lost is just the sheer volume of how many platforms should I be on? What should I be? And that's the bottom line. It's like, just pick one, learn it, and start there. That would be the greatest advice I could give somebody right now, is just pick one platform, learn the nuances of it, try it, and know that every post and every interaction is an experiment. And it's nothing but learning happening that refines the content you'll start to develop and even the communications that you'll have through the platform. So what we did is we said, okay, we're going to go all in right on Instagram. We felt like it had come on the scene. It was hot. People were paying attention to it a lot more than Facebook. And we just started to learn Instagram as a team. I invited 3-4 people to the table. I didn't have the budget necessarily to pay them. I just said, anybody who's interested in learning about social media with me that wants to potentially use this in the future for something else, meet me this afternoon at 2:00. I just sent an invite to my team. I had 3 or 4 show up, and we began to what we call data mine. And we would look at other Instagram accounts that were inspiring to us, and we would look for pictures that popped off the page or videos, and even the copy, the text that was written on those posts. And we began to study those things in an effort to learn what was capturing us so that they could in turn put it into our own voice and try to capture the hearts of our audience and the attention of our audience, right? So we got this little group together, and for close to a year, it was kind of volunteer based. We would cap photos on our little iPhones of coffee, of community. In fact, we titled our little group, we called ourselves Team Relic. And what we were trying to do was find relics. And Relic actually became an acronym for us. And we said, we're looking to do posts that are relational, educational, that cause laughter, that inspire, or that are about our community. So that's Relic. And as we had that as our framework for trying to find and create content to hit those categories, and we just had the time of our lives. We enjoyed it so much. But it grew to a point where we couldn't even keep up with it. So thankfully, we were able to create a framework. And then one of the best decisions we ever made was when somebody locally here, shout out to Foster's Creative, dear friend of mine, Bryson Foster, started to comment on a few of our posts and just say, man, you guys are doing such a great job. It was very encouraging. And then we sat down and he unpacked as a creative agency, what he and his wife at the time and their small little team could do for our company. And as I listened to him and how he said, man, we can take, you know, the photos that you're posting and we can capture those. We can create videos and we can do interviews and we can write copy and we can even respond to the comments of every single person who's commenting on stuff so that you don't have to. For me, that was the light bulb moment. That was the day everything changed. And it was, for 4 years now, we've employed their company as our marketing department, if you will. And it's been the best money we've been able to spend. We don't do really any other traditional marketing. We believe wholeheartedly that word of mouth still always has been and always will be the best form of advertisement. And then we just believe that social media amplifies it, just like the megaphone in our logo, just like our Live Loud, Love Loud persona. And so that was such a perfect fit, you guys. It helped us to scale our social media. And specifically, I think this is important to note, all of this was transpiring while we only had 2 stores. So I believe that the social media marketing efforts that went forth as we went to store 3 and to store 4 and to store 5, that they aided us in the purpose of scale. Because when we would open a location in a brand new community, what's amazing is that community had seen me online. They'd seen me on the social feed. But when they saw me in person, they felt like they knew me. Or when we opened the store and I was around, it was like they already had connected with the brand and decided, I like this brand. I can't wait till it comes to our city. So, you know, that helped us a ton. And I think we leveraged social media in the right way to create kind of an after party, if you will, and an extension of what we do day in and day out inside our stores.
Wow. That was so much value that you just gave us. I really love that framework of Relic and thinking about your content that way through that lens and how you provide that value. I do want to step back a little bit because I think especially for smaller coffee shops, cafes that are just trying to get into that space, they're not necessarily going to have the funds, resources, or time to put into a media agency to help them with that. But you talked about creating a little committee around this. And I also think that's so cool, leveraging all that talent on our teams, especially when you're working in an industry like coffee. There's all these young people, college students, high school students, who while coffee is right now their job, may not be their end game in life. And so empowering them to really take that and learn from it and develop that is so, so cool. I want to ask though, I think handing over that type of responsibility to multiple people on the team, like can be hard for some business owners. Ultimately, this brand is your vision. So tell me a little bit about how you formed that committee, who was on it, and what level of control, process, or guest quality control maybe went into curating that content so that you weren't losing track or losing control of the ultimate vision and voice of Anthem.
Trevor, I love the phrasing of this question. And I think it's so important to address how we protect our voice, protect our brand, protect our culture. I mean, let's think of the coffee shop owner who's just a solopreneur at the moment, right? To then hire somebody who's going to represent them behind the bar. It's like, it's scary to bring anybody into your vision or your dream. But what makes it work is feedback, is constant, clear, continuous communication about your expectations as an owner, about what you want done and what you don't want done, being very clear about it. Now, what's beautiful about it is you can be kind, but what's challenging sometimes is that nobody loves feedback unless you realize that feedback could be the greatest gift someone can give you. You know, a lot of people think of feedback as the boogeyman, but for me, it's been the biggest blessing to receive feedback. We say this all the time around our place. If we don't know, we can't grow. So thank you for your feedback today. Even though, it was negative, even though you had a horrible experience, now we can become better and we're going to make it right with you, right? And it's the same thing with the positive feedback. Thank you so much for the positive feedback. We're going to pass that on to our team. We're going to do more of that thing. So in the same regards towards social media and, you have to protect culture. You have to protect your brand. You have to protect voice. And I just knew very early on with this crew around me, first of all, they're going, please guide me, please lead me, please help me win, right? Nobody ever wakes up wanting to wet the bed and suck at life, right? They're waiting for me to lead them clearly where it is I want them to go and what it is I want them to do. So we established that from the get-go. I like to always say, I want to frame this in, if we're going to start something new with our team member. And I said, I'm going to frame this in and say, look, guys, for the next 6 to 8 weeks, I'm going to have a heavy hand of involvement on all the copy that's written, on how the photos are edited, on how any types of videos or little looping video things that we put out. And I'm going to give feedback on it. I'm going to leave a little margin for mistakes to be made and allow feedback to even come through from customers. I wonder what they're saying. But, I stayed true to that. I think you have to inspect what you expect. And if you don't, then I think that's when drift begins to happen and people begin to go off the rails. And first of all, these are people that have been on my team for several years. So they already understood they understood the culture clearly, but they really knew my voice and my voice being transmitted through a brand sense. And it was through that time that we really settled into the groove of what our brand voice sounds like. And man, they were very teachable. And that's the thing is, I think if everybody comes to the table saying, hey, let's create wins together, one's going to be open. I'm going to be open to learning and correction and the best way to communicate with those team members and pass on feedback. And then at the end of the day, to us, if they're not a good fit, to make some adjustments. But you also asked a great question about, we didn't have the budget necessarily, but we're surrounded by such great, talented people, college students, people that are aspiring to potentially do something else in the future. And that's one of my greatest joys is helping to unlock the full potential in other people. So this was an experiment largely in part to see, who can I help kind of go further in something that they're interested in. And those that showed up around the table, what's so fun for me is now, fast forward several years, one of the gals that was around that table, she was able to grow in confidence and clarity in utilizing social media. She went on to create a little social media company that serves chiropractic clinics specifically and does all the social media, the copywriting, videos, photo type stuff. And it was born out of that moment. You know what I mean? So I'm just constantly looking for ways to involve team members where they're strong or where they're interested or where they have curiosities. And in doing so, I think you do two things. I've heard it said that involvement equals ownership. So you build a greater level of loyalty of that employee towards the brand and the company by just involving them. They have this sense of ownership, but it also unlocks certain gifts in them and gives them a platform and a place to exercise some of these skills that they may not even know they have yet. So it's been such a joy to see that journey come alive.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I know that, Brian, you are an ambassador for, your community in a sense. And one thing that really strikes me every time I see this on your social media, because we'll go back to that acronym, RELIC. The last of that is a C, it's community. And part of your strategy, I really believe, is you emphasize and highlight other businesses all the time. And it's not just, it's just not about Anthem, but it's about the community. And it's so fun to see you out there, you know, on the street or in front of a new bakery or sandwich shop, you know, going, hey, get your butts over here. This is the best, you know, sandwich in the world or whatever, you know. But how do you see that play out? I mean, obviously it's part of what you do. You love to invest in people, you invest in the community, but give us a little background on why you do that. Because most companies really don't take time to do what you do like that.
You know, it's a very unique thing. And Joe, I gotta just be honest, like, I don't even think I realized what I was doing when I was doing it. I just really enjoy people and the entrepreneurial spirit. And I feel so blessed to have a platform as we do at Anthem to be able to utilize this, this business and we get to turn the attention sometimes on other people and other businesses that are doing great things and fun things. A dear friend of mine said that if you spend your life building other people's platforms, you'll always have one. And I think if we make our lives about serving others, lifting up others, and highlighting others, championing others, there's always going to be a place for us. We provide coffee for communities that we're in the business of selling coffee. But truthfully, I mean, coffee is just a vehicle that we get to use to grow the people business. And that's the currency that I'm after, is people, and having them feel safe and having them feel inspired and having them enjoy the experiences that we try to create day in and day out at our shops. We want the coffee just to be the bonus. Like, oh, by the way, you paid for this and here you go. I hope you enjoy. But all the relational aspects and the connecting in a real and authentic way, like actually caring about who they are, what their name is, right? Where they're heading off to, how this food item, this delicious English muffin breakfast sandwich or this coffee is going to fuel them for whatever they have ahead of them. So I think it's out of a sincere kind of curiosity and excitement for people, for community, for business, for entrepreneurship, for art, for anything that's just fun and creative. Like, I love to just get the old camera out and take a video and tell people stories. So I'm into that, man.
I was wondering if you could maybe move to Durango. I think that'd be a great place to bring your marketing strategy. You know, I'd love to have, like, you know, 50% of that energy, you know, and love. Yeah. And again, I, you know, we share a lot of the same values, you know, in ways, and we express it differently, obviously, but man, I'll tell you, hearing your story and just listening to you talk about your passion for people and really investing in the lives, not only of those people that work with you, but those people that work around you and everybody that helps make your community special. And so that's really cool, Brian. And I love hearing your story, and I've heard it so many times, but every time I hear it, it re-energizes me. And, cause you're a passionate dude and you love what you do and you love your family and you love your community. And speaking of that, we're going to transition a little bit just into what we've both gone through and this last year. And that's this COVID thing. And so, you know, you've experienced longer and stricter rules than we have in Colorado. So how did you guys do during that whole period of time? What happened? And I don't want to focus a ton of time on this. So give us the Reader's Digest version of it. And just how are you doing now?
Wow. Well, like I said, man, we came fresh out of the growth phase. All the financial resources had been dispersed into the growing from 2 stores to 8 stores. And then all of a sudden, you know, here we are in about the middle of March. And in fact, I think, Joe, you and I were coming back from a New York coffee fest. We got to do some speaking together. And it's like just kind of everything came to a screeching halt for us. Our state mandated that, that businesses close and people quarantine for 2 weeks straight. And so we felt like, even though we could have stayed open and done, you know, curbside pickup or, you know, there was a couple options for us, but nothing that really made sense economically. We decided to do the socially responsible thing and close for 2 weeks. But that 2 weeks turned into about 40 plus days. And we certainly lost a lot of momentum, and people found new routes and new ways to get coffee. And only one of our 8 locations actually has a drive-through window. So we were thankfully able to keep that one rolling. But there were some unique challenges with it all. You know, just the fact that, first of all, it's brand new. Nobody really knows the way to navigate it properly. And then, you know, I got to be honest with you, Joe, I'll share just briefly. It was like getting punched in the teeth for me as a leader. Like, I was not prepared to reel back and like actually face this thing full on. It blindsided me to the point where I felt like I'd been hit by a haymaker, totally dizzy, totally for once in a long time at a loss for words. I literally had no words, no direction. It seemed like the moment we had one plan figured out, all the rules changed and we had to figure out a new plan, just as we were deploying the old plan to our team members. And so, you know, just like everyone has experienced, just hardship, heartache, turmoil, stress beyond anything we've experienced. I even went into kind of a dark moment, and a dark moment, I say, of just being quiet, really. Like, I had nothing, felt like nothing to contribute. What was helpful, though, and this was the pivotal moment for me about, I want to say this happened just before June, so May-ish. A dear friend, business owner as well, reached out and he said, "Look, man, it's been a long time since I've had good coffee. And I see that you don't have an online store to be able to sell coffee online. So what I would like to do is help you build an online store, set up shipping. I will handle all of the fulfillment. And I want to get this going for you in the next 72 hours. And Joe, I got to tell you, man, from kind of this dark perspective on life that I was feeling, all of a sudden, this one little ray of sunshine came through. I got the phone. I burst into tears at the generosity of the offer, called him back. I said, "Let's do this thing. Let's make it happen." And all of a sudden, the lesson that I learned was, you know, because I guess my passion and my purpose had kind of been sucked out of the room due to all the restrictions and due to all the things that we couldn't do, right? I was focused on all the things that I couldn't do, that we were restricted from doing. And then all of a sudden, I had something to do again, some way to move the needle, some way to create some excitement around our brand and fulfill a need. Right? Any good business is fulfilling needs. And that's the basis of it. And so here we were, getting ready to launch an offer. And what's so dope is his one act of, you know, reaching out to touch, you know, just touch base and see how I'm doing and offer this. It turned into something where other businesses saw this. One in particular, Merit Construction, they rallied and they said, "Look, we'd like to extend an offer for every 5 bags that get purchased online. We're going to purchase a 5-pound bag of coffee to donate to first responders and medical professionals." And so that marketing went out and became kind of viral around our little area. And so people are gobbling up bags of coffee online, and Merit's having to pony up and buy all these 5-pound bags of coffee. And then together with their owner, Tammy Berklid, shout out, we got to drive around, deliver fresh baked cookies from Anthem and these 5-pound bags of coffee to all these places. And, you know, just that was it, man. The moral of the story, I think, is, you know, the only thing in life we really can actually control is our response to everything that's happening around us. And definitely, you know, hard times are going to come again. I know it. But when they do, I know how to recognize it now. And I know how to shift my thinking towards, okay, I can't control these things that I'm restricted from, but here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to go and pursue. And I think it's in the pursuit of some sort of endeavor that can pull us out of a funk faster than anything.
It's funny because everything you just described, it sounds so serendipitous. Like, oh yeah, this guy called us and it out of the blue, we had this happen. And then this other company decided, oh wow, let's help out and all that stuff. It sounds very serendipitous, but I just want to call out the amount of work and effort you put into, and I know we've already talked about this community aspect of it, but that doesn't happen without that strong community baseline. You don't have people check in on you and make those kind of offers. You don't have construction companies or other people come in to play and really support you and first responders at that point without being part of that network of of different business owners and entrepreneurs and just being that community place. So I just want to call out real quick. That's pretty incredible. And I think really if there's one takeaway people really need to walk away from this episode from and learn from Anthem is how strong that community really needs to be and can be through all of this.
Trevor, you nailed it. And you know, that was largely in part due to our efforts on social media, believe it or not. I mean, that's it. Now, I want to normalize the idea of social media, and I want to recognize everybody out there that's listening how daunting social media can be, how scary it can be. And not everybody feels comfortable, you know, utilizing that little mobile television studio that's in their pocket in the form of their cell phone, right? But again, I would say in this day and age, you cannot afford to not present on some social media platform, building an audience, telling your story, sharing your heart, your passion, why you got into business, who you are. Because here's the truth. People buy from people. Otherwise, they'd be cruising up to a vending machine, popping in a dollar bill, going A7 and getting the Snickers out. People buy people. And there has never been a greater time in the history of our planet to be able to have FaceTime with people, to be able to have our voices heard, to be able to share our stories and our passions. And so to somebody who's listening out there struggling with, where do I even begin? Just pick a platform and start experimenting.
Yeah, you can get hit and hit, but it's how you respond to that, like you said, and it's how fast you get up and how fast you go after your dream and your vision. And again, who knows whether COVID will ever happen again. Tough times will come. We all know that. But I love the attitude. I love your spirit. I love your willingness to learn, your willingness to go back to the drawing board, to do a self-reflection check, you know, and even being vulnerable enough to go, yeah, I was in a dark place, you know, and I was as well. And I think there's a lot of people out there would say, yeah, it was a dark time, but you know what? There's new days ahead of us, Brian. And I love your vision. And could you just give us a, you know, as we wrap up here, just give us a quick, you know, I guess, where are you headed? Where is Anthem headed in the next couple of years? What's your future dreams with Anthem?
Well, our nonstop, our lesson from all this in 2020 that took place was, okay, time to become COVID-proof and future-proof. Time to get some double-sided drive-thrus,
amen, brother.
Baby.
Amen.
We've had so much joy in our single-sided drive-through that we've been fortunate enough to have. You know, again, 8 brick-and-mortar cafes, and one of the brick-and-mortars has a window. And we feel like we've been able to deliver on our mission. You know, I've talked about our tagline, live loud, love louder. Our mission though is heroic hospitality, really showing this level of care, concern, and compassion really for the people that have gone out of their way to come to our establishments. Heroic hospitality. And we've been able to deliver that really, really well through the drive-through experience. And so I'm daily getting email messages, hey, we went through your drive-through. Hey, we love the experience. You know, hey, they're introducing themselves and asking for our names through the microphone. I mean, you don't get that at Taco Time. They're not, you know, you don't get that at other places. So we're just trying to use the tools that we have in our hand to create really cool experiences and stay on mission and on point to what we're doing. And we believe that drive-throughs are going to be helpful in the future. You know, you can never, a drive-through is not going to have the same feeling of being able to sit down with your best friend or date night or, you know, a business meeting. You can't do that through the drive-through, but we understand that we need to sprinkle some of those throughout the region for more brand recognition, for more marketing. And I got to be honest with you, there's sometimes I'm driving home and I don't have time to stop in the store, walk in. I want to pop through an Anthem Coffee drive-through. So hopefully we're bringing some of those to you soon over the day.
That's awesome. I can tell you probably more stories, Brian, that have touched people's lives from our drive-thrus. So we have every month, we have meetings with all of our managers. We get together and we have these cultural moments, these highlights. And we have more stories from the drive-thrus where they've made connections with people in heroic ways, in ways that have touched their lives. And again, I always say, you know, Durango Joe's is the first place. It's the first place people come when they want to celebrate. And it's really the first place people come when they have something bad happen in their life, because they know we care. And so through those interactions and those relationships, cool stuff happens, and it happens in a drive-thru. And so I just want to encourage you, brother, man, get those drive-thrus up and running. They're a little bit less expensive in the long run and at the end of the day, but hey, all more power to you, brother. Get those drive-thrus up and watch new things happen in your company. It's a good thing.
I'm so excited, man. Well, that's where we're headed. You guys, Joe, Trevor, so appreciate what you guys do for the coffee community. Love your podcast and love you guys. This was so awesome. Thanks for having me on as a guest. And man, if there's any way I can serve you in the future, please reach out. We'd love to be a part.
Yeah, right on, Brian. You know, we at Durango Joe's try and be the bright spot in other people's days. And I can say with confidence, you were a bright spot in ours today. So thank you for joining us. This was super fun. A lot of value in this episode for our audience. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Durango Joe's podcast. The Durango Joe's podcast is published by Durango Joe's Coffee. It's hosted by Joe Lloyd and Trevor Ogborn. That's me. Durango Joe's. Love people, love coffee. Sorry, you were just so good answering those last questions. We're having to play catch up on our itinerary, our outline. They're like, what was your big pivot? Well, it was online. What was your big lesson from that? Community matters. Like, you nailed all of it.